It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
Ronda Rousey should be fined. She should be suspended. Who is she to just walk out onto another brand's championship match and affect the outcome? Charlotte Flair, Mike Riley, was jobbed tonight because Ronda Rousey wasn't in the main event of a co-branded show. Where is President Jack Tunney, Monsoon? We need justice, and we need swift justice, and Ronda Rousey, get rid of her. Fine her, suspend her, get her out of here, strip her of her championship.
Two big figures that I miss dearly to this day, Gorilla Monsoon and Jack Tunney. Jimmy, you know that it is a TLC match, so no DQ, all right? Who cares?
I do. Charlotte Flair should be the 8-time women's champion, and she's not.
Yeah, of course you say
she
that.
She had her hand on the championship, and this Ronda Rousey comes up and disrupts the whole match.
And I'm glad I can see the Charlotte Flair chapstick on your lips, too. It looks good.
Yeah.
What flavor is it?
Ben and Jerry's.
That's good. Not bad. Listen, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it how Ronda came in, and that just sets up so much potential here going into the Royal Rumble, Jimmy. This is going to be great.
In all seriousness, Asuka is the new SmackDown Women's Champion. She's earned it. She deserves it.
Totally.
And she's worked hard. She's one of the best wrestlers in the world, men or women. So she deserves to be the SmackDown Champion. The Charlotte, Becky, Ronda story really doesn't need both championships involved. Yeah. And as we kind of told you last week, more specifically, I told you last week, Asuka was probably going to win this match. And I think because Ronda is still the Raw champion, that you're probably going to see Charlotte and Becky win the Royal Rumble match. And then you're going to get your triple threat match at WrestleMania. Or they'll do some sort of Becky versus Charlotte, and then the winner of that match before Mania will get the shot at Ronda Rousey. But the path to WrestleMania seems clear for the women's division. It's Charlotte and or Becky versus Ronda Rousey, and I'm okay with that. That's the good stuff. You saw tonight the San Jose crowd was clamoring for Becky Lynch all night. They were into the Charlotte Flair on offense. So all good stuff here. All good stuff. And it's another example of the women having better programs and stories than the men do.
What about this, though? You just got this text message I got from a friend of ours, our good buddy Scott Isaacs, and he just said, what about having the Royal Rumble finish with a Lex Luger Brett finish in 94?
Yeah, that's what I just said, a double finish.
Oh, you did say, okay, yeah. I misunderstood you there.
I said it last week, so thanks, Scott, for listening to the podcast.
I misunderstood you there, okay.
What a Melvin. What a Melvin.
Yeah, sure. Whatever you say. I think that this is it's just awesome. And there's that shows you the talent right there, Jimmy. I mean, a year ago, here we were talking about Charlotte and Ronda Rousey. Now you have Becky Lynch right there in that scenario where she can very easily, you know, slide right into the main event scenario, potentially with Ronda Rousey, or if you throw in the Charlotte situation with all three of them, like we've been talking about, we've been hinting at it. But if you get just one of the two, a regular one-on-one match, it's going to be great no matter what. But has Asuka kind of been punished here for her, I don't know, lack of speaking English, do you think, being held back as women's champion?
No, this her being women's champion now is a perfect opportunity.
No, but I mean,
you could make the argument that she should have won WrestleMania. I disagree with that argument.
But should she have been women's champion before tonight? And I'm saying that because her English is pretty poor.
Well, at Vincent Kennedy McMahon on Twitter. That's who you should question this decision with.
Well, you know, I have a pretty good chance of getting a response because I am verified like him.
Because that is a, I mean, that's a legitimate question to ask as far as who he promotes as his top men and women females.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard to say because, I mean, I'm sure it plays a role because Vince McMahon has a certain vision of his WWE superstars.
Right.
And if they don't fit that vision, whatever it is, your size, it's basically about your appeal to the masses.
Right. Right.
And who needs a championship and who doesn't? Is Asuka getting the championship now a good thing? Yes, absolutely is. Is it a little later than it should have been? You can make the argument for that. I would have had Charlotte win at WrestleMania. I don't know that I would have had Carmella retain twice against Asuka over the summer.
Yeah.
But I understand why they did it. They were trying to push Carmella because Carmella at the time was the best promo in the women's division. It also allowed them to tell a longer story with Charlotte and Becky, which is what you're seeing now.
Right.
And now because Charlotte and Becky don't need the championship, Asuka is going to get an opportunity to run with the SmackDown Women's Championship in the same way that I think last year the run of Natalya Neidhart on SmackDown ended as women's champion.
Right, right.
And so yeah, this is them trying to figure out what they have.
No,
I think ultimately
it's a good problem.
The long play is I think Mandy Rose is the next Trish Stratus, but she has to be brought along properly.
Right.
So if you're not going Mandy Rose yet, you have Becky and Charlotte who are penciled in for Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania. Then you need to do something on the SmackDown brand. And we've seen Naomi be the women's champion. She won the WrestleMania Battle Royal.
Yep.
So you've seen that. What else is the division? It's Asuka.
Yeah, that's it. That's all you got.
Until your next tier is ready.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, we don't know what Vince McMahon is going to say on Raw tomorrow, but, you know,
Vince McMahon doesn't care about SmackDown.
I know, but I'm just saying.
I mean, he doesn't show up to most of them.
But, you know, there is that always that possibility where.
But at the end of the day, it's Vince McMahon's company, and he's going to say who is the champion, who's not, who's main eventing, and who's not.
In a hypothetical situation, who's to say he's not going to shake things up with the superstar shakeup earlier than we thought, okay? Maybe you get a Nia Jax going to SmackDown to feud with Becky. That was a great feud, a good little thing in the backstage after the Nia Jax match with Ronda Rousey. That was fantastic when she pushed her right into the truck there. Awesome.
That's an old Steve Austin thing.
Oh, I thought it was great.
Having an earlier vignette get to pay off something. And that's what happened was you had Charlie Caruso try to talk to Nia Jax. Nia Jax blew her off. Becky Lynch comes into the screen. Socks are won. And now you've got, in the words of Becky Lynch, a debt paid off.
That's great.
In the short term.
So much possibility here. And I'm really excited to see what's going to happen. So in the end, Jimmy, Charlotte, Becky, they don't need a title. They don't. Asuka needs the title. Okay. That's a good problem for SmackDown to have right there with all that talent. So I'm happy for Asuka to be champion, but Becky and Charlotte are so powerful as is. They don't need the title around them.
Just to follow up on your Vince McMahon point, do I think he does the superstar shakeup tomorrow night?
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah.
But the reason why he's back on TV is because Raw's ratings are in the toilet, and the buzz around Raw, and we'll talk about the Seth Rollins-Dean Ambrose match coming up here in a second. That is a resounding vote of silence from the WWE universe. Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts.
So this was supposed to be the pay-per-view in Boston back in October.
Yeah, and it's a good thing that it wasn't.
Yeah, I'm overall pleased with that.
Because then you wouldn't have had what is going to be a major continuation of the Becky and Charlotte story. You wouldn't have gotten what you got tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
Asuka, Empress of Today, Becky and Charlotte look like they're penciled for Ronda Rousey. How they get there, they will figure out. One of my other interesting takeaways from this show is Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose for the Intercontinental Championship, and the crowd was silent. They were chanting, "This is boring." They were chanting for Becky Lynch. Just these guys were trying so hard to tell a story, and the crowd just did not care.
Well, Jimmy, like we talked about last week here on the show, that just seemed like a forced match going into this pay-per-view, okay? The way they booked Dean and Seth, I mean, the way it went off that night when Roman Reigns announces he has leukemia, it was brilliant, the way they worked it, okay? But the way it was booked in the end after leading up to it, absolutely disgusting. Just so boring. One match I would have cared for, I would have been more invested in, I didn't care. And the crowd said it too. You heard them. You heard them say this is boring. And I thought they were going to try to fade out the crowd noise, wouldn't you?
There was no crowd noise to fade out. They were quiet. And then the boring chants were there. Yeah. The Becky chants were there. But that's the thing that interests me, Mike, is Seth Rollins is just this top-notch performer. Mm-hmm. And the more that I'm looking at him, because this is his second pay-per-view match this year, the first being with Dolph Ziggler, where the crowd is groaning or not interested or quiet. Quiet is the worst. Quiet Awful. Is the worst.
That's a major problem.
And maybe I have overrated Seth Rollins as the worker that he is when he can't get the crowd to fully invest in him.
Yeah.
And it could also be too, Mike, is that the crowd doesn't want to see this match because they saw it a lot in the past, and they want to see Dean and Seth fight together because they know that they travel together, or maybe they don't anymore because kayfabe, but they know that Roman, Seth, and Dean all traveled together. They'd be at the Buffalo Wild Wings together hanging out. Mm-hmm. Or they'd be here or they'd be there, but they were a cohesive unit. And now Roman's out because he's sick, and they wanted to see Dean and Seth be the tag team champions. They didn't want to see them fight against each other.
Dean
Ambrose won the Intercontinental Championship just to tie up the match, clean in the middle, double arm DDT over Seth Rollins. The story that they told was Seth got overly emotional at the end. Dean hit him with his finisher and beat him clean in the middle.
Right. And it just was, again, not invested, no emotional tie to it. The other thing I was going to say that I thought hurt them, the booking of that match, was it was immediately after the Daniel Bryan AJ Styles match, which was a pretty good one. And that was, you know, 1A match on the card, I'd say, right behind the main event, of course, which we just talked about, the triple threat. But again, let down. Hangover, crowd, I'm going to give them a little bit of benefit of the doubt, but overall, they were displeased. They let the WWE know about it, and that is another major talking point, like you just said, why Vince McMahon will be on Raw to kind of, you know, brush some stuff under the rug and really clarify a lot of situation that's happening on Raw right now. That's bad.
Well, somebody on Twitter put out that Ambrose versus Rollins was the bathroom break before the Becky Lynch match, which I thought was kind of funny.
I think that's a pretty good way to put it.
But they tried so hard to tell their story, and the crowd wasn't invested in it.
Right.
And so how do you fix that? And I'm not really sure how you fix it, because they have their idea of how they want to tell stories, and you're going to like how they tell stories. And so Dean Ambrose is going to run with the Intercontinental Championship, and now Seth Rollins, he'll get his rematch on Raw, he'll get his rematch maybe at the Rumble, maybe he'll do double duty, shout out Billy Lanny, who loves wrestlers who do double duty, but it looks like that Seth Rollins is pegged to win the Royal Rumble, and he'll go on and challenge Brock Lesnar probably for the Universal Championship, and he'll probably win it. But I have to question that decision right now, because Seth Rollins is having hit or miss matches.
And
you can't have a performer who's going to be in your main event, who's been in two main events this year, because he's technically the Raw main event. I know he didn't go on last tonight at TLC, but he was the Raw main event over the summer, that Iron Man match with Dolph Ziggler. And the crowd was mocking the match. It was quiet for the match. So now I have to question Seth Rollins as a main event player.
Well, that's the other thing, too. There's two things I thought about this right here. If you are going to have him as a main event guy in that situation to fight Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, that does not need to be your main event. We know that. Okay. Will it be? There's a very high chance it's going to be because of Brock Lesnar. But does it have to be? No. Should it be? We'll see. But the other thing, too, Jimmy, going back to the Rollins and Dean Ambrose fight at TLC, and this wasn't the only match, but, you know, you have the name of the pay-per-view. What is it? Tables, ladders, and chairs. Use a match. Use the props in one of the matches there, and that one in particular. Use it. Make it a chairs match. Make it a ladder match. You got an Intercontinental title. Make it a ladder match for the two. So much better than what we saw tonight. It'll be much more exciting. Why didn't they do that? Why?
Easy, because they had other matches on the show that were...
too bad.
Mysterio versus Randy Orton was a chairs match. Natalia beat the Riot Squad with putting all three of them through a table. Braun Strowman ended the GM run of Baron Corbin in a tables, ladders, and chairs match. I mean...
Yeah.
And then you have the main event was a tables, ladders, and chairs. You can't have a full pay-per-view of the same match.
Why not? What you can have,
because you're going to burn out your crowd.
Well, that's the point of the pay-per-view, Jimmy. It's tables, ladders, and chairs. You can have a ladder match. You get a belt on the line, put a ladder match there. Do it. What's the point of it?
So you're going to have back-to-back matches. As the card was formatted, Mike, you're going to have back-to-back matches with the same stipulation.
Doesn't mean you have to have back-to-back matches. You can book it a different way. Put it earlier. Or kick it off with the Intercontinental title match. Put a ladder match. Make it a stipulation, not that crap we saw tonight. And that's what you heard from the crowd in San Jose. They let people hear it, and I was booing with them. That's how bad it was.
So we criticized them for rushing stories. Here's an instance where they're not giving a gimmick match. They're trying to tell you a story, and you don't like it?
It's not a good story. It's bad.
Okay.
So try to spice it up with what you have for the props of the pay-per-view and use that to your advantage, where they didn't do that. They slept on it. Epic failure.
Okay, so you want to hotshot everything. Good to know.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon loves you and how you love moments.
Well, that's the point of having a pay-per-view named Tables, Ladders, and Chairs. You take advantage of that.
You can't do that for every match, though. That's the WCW Uncensored, Mark.
Then put less matches then, okay? I'm sorry. It should be a pay-per-view you look forward to every year as Tables, Ladders, and Chairs. And I understand Hell in a Cell has one match a year too, okay? Just give me a good three of them or something like that. And if you're going to do TLC with three props like that, give the fans what they want. And they got – it was not a good situation for them in that match right there.
So – pay-per-views shouldn't be 4 hours. They should go back to three hours.
Absolutely. And right? Not everyone has to be on the card like that.
So that's point number one. Yeah. But point number two is I actually had thought going into the show that this was going to be a ladder match.
That's what I thought
and
too.
I don't know why I thought that, but I thought that going into it. And maybe it was because Baron Corbin and Seth Rollins had a ladder match on Monday Night Raw, and I thought that was going to be the preview.
Right.
That was going to be the preview, and that's how they get the title off of Seth Rollins without actually pinning Seth Rollins, but they didn't do that. They tried to tell a story. They tried to tell a wrestling story, which I appreciate, but it just wasn't something that that San Jose crowd wanted.
No, and I think a lot of people didn't want it either.
It feels that way. It feels like that the crowd just didn't dig this feud. Hopefully it's over and done with. It won't be, but I go back to I now have to question Seth Rollins as a main event performer after tonight.
No, I'm with you, Jimmy. I'm with you. And I love Seth Rollins. I know you have a special place in your heart for him, too. I think he's a great competitor. And I really think that, like I've said before here on this podcast with you, that I think they could really tie in the whole story, how he cashed in at WrestleMania 31, which will be 4 years ago, and, you know, make that all happen. Again, not specifically cash in, but his road to redemption there of winning the Universal title before he tore his ACL.
Well, the story that they're actually going to try to tell, according to Meltzer, is that Seth Rollins is going after Brock Lesnar because of revenge for Roman Reigns. And Roman never lost the Universal Championship. And that's really the main goal, is to avenge Roman Reigns. And then maybe you end up, if Roman comes back healthy, you end up with Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins, which, of course, we know how that ends. It's death, taxes, and Roman loses to Seth Rollins.
Right, right. So,
coming up next, we will talk more about TLC, what we liked about it, and whose final battle happened this weekend.
This is the real Ring of Honor World Champion Matt Taven, and don't be a Melvin your entire life. Do yourself a favor, let everyone know that you get it, and when it comes down to an argument between Sarge and Jay Stu, obviously, you gotta side with Jay Stu. So do your job, you might know that phrase, especially if you're around here, and listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes. Why? Because I'm Matt Taven, and I told you so!
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Something that I think Mike and I did like was AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan. They had an amazing WWE Championship match with Daniel Bryan retaining. Get this, with a small package. I love the finish. I love the match. I love that it was a good, competitive WWE Championship match. It might be one of the best matches that this company has had all year. And Corey Graves' storytelling during this match was awesome. He's putting over that Daniel Bryan had the championship leather strap replaced with a vegan-friendly variation, which was very nice and very funny. The new Daniel Bryan, the one who's trying to save the world, tremendous stuff. Him and AJ Styles meshed on a great level. And this is what we should have gotten from AJ versus Nakamura. We got from Bryan and AJ Styles. Mike, your thoughts on the match?
Yeah, no, again, like I've said before, and I'll say it again, anytime you put AJ Styles in the ring with someone, he's going to make it better. And not necessarily the other opponent will do their work, but he always does 110% of what's asked for him. And it's a good product all around. I thought it was exciting start to finish. Now, that's a match right there that did not need a stipulation one, and that was fine, okay?
Well, Mike, you want to have every match have a stipulation, so let's go.
Listen,
where is Vince Russo? Let me call Vince Russo. Hang on. Hand me that phone right over there. I'm going to call Vince Russo because you and Vince Russo love each other right now.
That match did not necessarily need one because of the talent that they had in there and the way they were able to perform.
So you're saying Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose are untalented. Got it.
No, I'm saying that do not pull a Mike Felger on me, all right? What I'm saying here is that Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins needed the props in there. Not saying that AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan needed the props because they're better. They're better than what we saw with Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. So, very happy with that match. I love how they're having Daniel Bryan, again, his whole character here, holding on to that with the heel. And I really am going to jump on what you were saying last week, Jimmy, where I could see AJ Styles turning heel at the Royal Rumble, going after Daniel Bryan, getting upset about, you know, losing the title and being unrecognized and, you know, underappreciated, undervalued and all that. I could totally see that. And but I really thought two good performers, and what we've seen Daniel Bryan do since he came out of retirement, it's pretty unique and it's really special.
Yeah, because Daniel Bryan is being a wrestler, which is what he is. He loves the grappling.
What he wants.
And he's good at telling a story without having to do, I think what it is with Daniel Bryan, it's the pace of the moves. It's very well thought out. There are points where he's methodical, but he's always doing something that engages the audience. And I think that's the key point of it. Whether he's doing a wrestling move, he's working the wrestling move. He's not just sitting there in a chin lock trying to calm everything down. He's actively working and grappling and moving and doing something. It's those facial expressions. This is why people emotionally invest in wrestlers, is because if they believe it, then they will make you believe it. This is what we were talking about with Jim Ross a few weeks ago.
Yep.
From the point that you walk out onto that camera to the point where you walk back, your goal is win a match, be that character, be whatever it is to get everybody invested and not come across as fake, phony, reading a script, whatever it is. And that's what Daniel Bryan does so well. That's what AJ Styles does so well. You feel like they are who they are talking about they are.
Right. And for, you know, fans like you and I, a wrestling fan, it's something that we really appreciate from both of them. One, great athleticism, fantastic psychology, and like you said, very good storytelling too. So very pleased with the way that they performed tonight, and I love the Daniel Bryan character right now, how it's going over so well in SmackDown.
So I'm guessing that they're going to have another match at the Royal Rumble, and we'll see where it kind of goes from there. I'd kind of like to see Bryan at this point have a nice long run with the championship and get some opponents in there. One match that we do know will happen at the Royal Rumble is Braun Strowman will now face Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship by virtue of Braun Strowman beating Baron Corbin in, get this, Mike, tables, ladders, and chairs match. They worked the stipulation for this match.
Yeah.
The wrestlers that screwed over Baron Corbin the last few weeks, they ended up beating up Corbin because Braun was probably not medically cleared to compete in an actual match. And of course, Braun reminded us that TLC matches are no DQ. Thank God for Braun.
Yeah.
Little nitpick on this one. Okay. Heath Slater, who was the assigned official, was counting Strowman out of the ring. Mm-hmm. He got to seven, and Strowman's music hit. Now, last time I checked the WWE rule book, which I have right in the corner, right over there, right on my bookcase, just because somebody's music hit doesn't mean you stop your 10 count.
Right. Right.
But, of course, we know that is the spot, and, you know, it took Braun about 30 seconds to get to the ring, but my rule book does not say that a referee's count will stop
even
because
if the
somebody's music plays or when the lights go out or anything like that.
Okay.
Small attempt at humor. My apologies. But it's like little details like that. It's little details like that. But so I guess my question with this is, what's next for Baron Corbin? And I'll ask you that. We'll start there and we'll work our way. What's next for Baron Corbin?
Well, for what Baron Corbin, the role he was put in there for the commissioner, or general manager for Raw, I thought that was probably the best thing that could happen to his character. It was a revamp and more, the heel. He started as a constable, then worked his way into that interim GM role there, and to see how that developed. And I think, unfortunately for him, he just really, for Raw, being in the situation it's in right now, his role is not really appreciated with his character. You know what I mean? The way that the whole show is coming out and everyone's not enjoying it, the way his character really isn't connecting with the fans, and I don't think it's really going over so well. Okay? So I think the character thing, the whole change of pace from being a full-time wrestler, the lone wolf, to the constable clean-shaven was good for him, but the way Raw has been right now, it's not helping him either. So for the future Baron Corbin, if they can find something with him in the authoritative figure role, assistant to the GM again, or assistant to the commissioner on one of the shows, I think that would benefit him. Otherwise, if he wants to get back in the ring full-time, he's going to need a push, meaning he's going to need a belt around him. And I mean like the Intercontinental title, or we've already seen him as the U.S. champion before, but he's going to need something sooner rather than later before he becomes someone that we just don't care about.
I think probably after tomorrow night's Raw, you won't see Baron Corbin for a while. Yeah. I think he failed as general manager. I think they tried really hard. And Baron Corbin's got a lot of talent, but he just didn't connect with the audience. Mm-hmm. And he probably should have in a better way, but there's that missing piece with him. And that's probably part of the reason why he didn't win the Money in the Bank. He had a failed cash in, which those are rare. Yeah. We were live in Providence when it happened. We were stunned. Mm-hmm. But that's probably going to be the last time we see Baron Corbin in a major spot for a while. We might not see him for a little while. They may fire him officially tomorrow, or, you know, they'll demote him somewhere else. Maybe they'll put him on the main event. But I don't know. So here's my follow-up question for that is Braun Strowman versus Brock Lesnar at the Royal Rumble. Does Vince McMahon beat Braun Strowman again against Brock Lesnar? Because if Seth Rollins is winning the Royal Rumble and fighting Brock Lesnar for the Universal Championship at WrestleMania, then how do you get out of this Braun Strowman-Brock Lesnar fight? You have to beat Braun again.
Does Vince McMahon beat Braun Strowman? Or does you're saying Brock Lesnar
Brock
beat
Lesnar.
Braun Strowman? Yeah, yeah.
But okay, what I mean is like Vince is the one who...
Yeah, he's making the call. Yeah. No, of course. Yeah, it's going to be Brock Lesnar, hands down. And that's probably part of the contract here with him, to whatever, how many matches he has left and to retain as champion and all the way to WrestleMania. And then that just has Seth Rollins, you know, take down Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. So that'll carry right into the story there. So I think it's a shoo-in there for Brock to beat Braun Strowman. You've said it. I'm with you, Jimmy, before time and time again. Braun Strowman's not a kind of guy that needs a title on him. He doesn't.
But at some point, Mike, if you're going to keep putting him in championship matches, he has to win one.
No,
like that was the thing that made Andre special, is he would win the battle royals, but he wouldn't win the championship because he never got the championship shot. And then when he got the first opportunity, he lost, even though he won quick. And then, because that was the Joey Morella fast count, not fast count. Was he coming? Was he bracing himself as he was coming down for three? That whole thing. And then Andre beat Hogan at Survivor Series, be it a weird way. And then he beat him on the main event. And then they had their program all summer where Andre put him over. But at some point, but also Andre was on the back nine of his career. He was on the 18th hole of his career. And
down.
So Braun is, I think he's 35.
I'm going to look that up.
And,
right
a, and a bigger man. So if he's not going to be your champion now, when is the time? And the answer might be is that Vince is like, he's my monster, but he doesn't need it. So we're not ever going to put the championship on him. And I just think that that's a mistake. At least have him have it for a day so that, much like Andre can say that he was the WWF champion, Braun can be like, yep, I was the Universal champion. It's just, it's a cool little, like Kane had a one-day run as WWF champion, and they can't take that away from him. Finn Balor had his day as Universal champion. Although you talk to our friends at the New Age Insiders, and they'll tell you that he's held the championship for 848 days.
and they're pretty right about that. But you know, Braun Strowman, yes, he is 35, just turned 35 in September. I think they could have booked it better with the Money in the Bank, that he could have held onto that contract longer before the cash in, how they dealt with the whole thing. So I think they kind of failed on that. So maybe their backs are up against the wall here to have him win the title sooner than later. But if he is going to fight Brock Lesnar at the Royal Rumble, I just don't see it happening. I don't see it happening against Brock Lesnar. And again, there's a situation where you see Braun Strowman as that larger-than-life figure at WrestleMania. Big guy. He can still get away with the match or even win a battle royal, and then he can win down the line after WrestleMania. But I don't see it happening at the Rumble with Brock Lesnar.
And that leads us to Ronda Rousey versus Nia Jax. This match was good at the end.
Yeah.
But the odd reactions, Nia Jax should have had more boos. Ronda had kind of a tepid reaction from the San Jose crowd tonight.
Right.
Ronda continues to succeed in being maybe the WWE's best rookie, at least since Kurt Angle, maybe in a long time, maybe ever. I like that Ronda Rousey hit the Ricky Steamboat top rope finisher on Nia Jax on the outside. That's that flying body press. Ronda looked a little leery, like, do I really want to do this? Which I admire anybody who jumps that far off the ropes onto somebody else. And with Nia's history of either intentionally punching somebody or just botching everything, I'd be even more scared when something like that would happen. Finish, of course, to that was Jax was going for a Super Samoan Drop, turned into a power bomb, that got a near fall, and then Ronda like flipped around her 73 different times, kissed Nia Jax's fist, sinked in the arm bar, Nia Jax tapped out, Ronda Rousey still your Raw Women's Champion, and at this point, I would have to say that she's going to go into WrestleMania unbeaten, undefeated.
Yeah. Yep, I agree. That's the way it's looking right now. And, you know, that was not the last time we saw Ronda tonight, as we talked about at the top of the show with the and the main event there coming out and screwing over Charlotte and Becky. So, yes, I think if she is to lose her first match, it will happen at WrestleMania. It's either going to happen against Becky or Charlotte. She's going to ride this right into it. Going to see where they book her for the Royal Rumble. You know, how they're going to book her.
She might not have a match at the Rumble, because last year when they did the Women's Royal Rumble, they had the two champions sit at ringside.
True.
But I think that would not be good. I think that you should have Ronda. They're at Chase Field. They're at a baseball stadium. So you're looking at 60,000 people, and you're not going to have Ronda Rousey work a match?
Yeah, she's going to be in there.
Or they do something else and they beat her for the title and she's in the actual Royal Rumble match.
Right.
But I still think, as I've been saying for a little while here, is that you're gonna get Becky Lynch and or Charlotte winning that match. And
yeah,
that's a WrestleMania match.
Something's gonna happen, and she'll have some sort of we'll find out who she's gonna be booked against at the Rumble or what capacity she'll be doing. But you know, overall, the match there with Nia Jax, a C maybe. The ending did save it. It was good at the end. But other than that, though, didn't do much for me.
And by the way, because it's the Royal Rumble and they have two Royal Rumble matches, they could do something as easy as Ronda versus Tamina. And it's a nice Tamina, thank you for your service. You're going to go out there and get beat by Ronda Rousey in 90 seconds.
Right, right. And, you know, help her out with the Nia Jax storyline there and, you know, have a little fun with that. But I'm okay with that. But she's going to ride this undefeated streak right into WrestleMania. It's going to tell a good story against Charlotte, Becky, whatever they do. Very excited for that.
Just want to run through the rest of my notes from the show. Mm-hmm. Carmella and R-Truth won the Mixed Match Challenge and are now the number 30 entrants in their respective Royal Rumble matches. As I said last week, it's obvious that if they do the women's Royal Rumble match first, that R-Truth is going to try to come out in Carmella's spot, and they'll do that. They'll do a dance-off.
I'm happy for those two there, though.
I am, too. They've worked really hard. They're good promos.
Yeah, especially R-Truth. You know, he's been a good company guy for a long time, and he deserves this little push right here that he's getting. And, you know, he was a main event guy for about 8 years ago there when he was fighting The Rock. At one point at the Survivor Series, he was in that tag team match. So I think it's a good thing for R-Truth especially, and to be parlayed with Carmella. It's good for both of them.
I just wish that they chose to use R-Truth's real name, which is Ron Killings, which would be a great heel name.
It's an awesome name.
But yeah, good for Carmella, good for R-Truth. I don't like the fact that we know who the 30th entrants are. I like the fact that would be usually a mystery, and it would be either a return or you'd be surprised. I always like that factor, and I think that spot should be, you shouldn't know who 30 is. You shouldn't know that the match is about to end. You should be surprised, or poor Rey Mysterio, you're one of the biggest good guys in the history of pro wrestling, and you get booed because you're not Daniel Bryan.
Right, and it's just the intrigue around number 30. It's like, okay, this is awesome. Who's it going to be? But then after a while, you know, you do all your notes and you write down who's come out and so forth, and then you just figure it out. Yep, it's going to be that. It's going to be that. So at least you do know now. I understand that, but the intrigue, you know, beforehand, it is pretty cool, though, as you watch it live.
Of course, because it is pro wrestling, you can always just have somebody beat up R-Truth and take out the 30th spot. You can always do that because it's pro wrestling.
Why not? That's how it's done.
Bar Usos and New Day, they had a good tag team championship match. Not what their usual work is, but I think time constraints kind of handicapped that a little bit. Ruby Riott and Natty Neidhart had a fabulous match. Natty really single-handedly beat all three of the Riott squad by herself, put all three of them through a table, but I thought that they told a good story here. They wrapped up that story. Where everybody goes from there, I'm not really sure.
You know, Jimmy, just talking out loud here now.
Okay, oh, please do.
This just popped into my head before talking about the Ronda Rousey thing, who she could be booked against at the Royal Rumble. I could see her being booked against Natty, okay? Because the dirt sheet said that it was going to be Natty against Ronda Rousey's going to turn on her at some point earlier in the summer, but then Jim the Anvil died, and they didn't want to have Natty be a heel on that. They wanted to bring that more into the storyline there. So that's where I could see now that, you know, she won the match in her father's honor, dedicated it to her, congratulates Ronda as the women's champion, retaining against Nia Jax, and then turn on her, setting up a match at the Royal Rumble. I could totally see that happening right there, Natty and Ronda feuding at Chase Field in Phoenix.
Mike, you read a dirt sheet? Really?
I do my homework, James.
Oh, I'm proud of you. I didn't think you read dirt sheets.
Come on. Listen, you don't think I...
Well done.
I get paid to do this, pal. So.
Oh, I know. Any other notes from you on TLC?
Again, I thought it was, you know, it's always the classic pay-per-view end of the year, your final one of 2018. So we know what's going to, the groundwork has been laid here for the Royal Rumble and then now the official road to WrestleMania. So the main event, thankfully that went on at the end there, the AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan feud. I'm excited to see where that goes. They got to do a lot of cleaning up here with the Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins thing. Please don't bring that back. I don't want to see any more of those feuds. I think I made that very clear. But overall, I gave it a C+.
Okay. C+ grade.
What do you got?
Cool.
You cool with that?
You do letter grades on your own time.
All right, fine. You don't like to do that.
No, sure. I don't like letter grades. I'd rather give you analysis.
Well, I gave you analysis too, but
mediocre analysis.
No, you're wrong. Shut your mouth.
It's my podcast.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Mike, this might be your final battle.
Well, maybe of 2018.
Maybe of 2018. But final battle was Ring of Honor's presentation to the wrestling world. This happened Friday night. Truth be told, I passed out during the Cody Jay Lethal match.
Yeah, because you're an old man.
Yeah, pretty. Or Cody's boring. I haven't finished the show yet. But I thought it was a strong first half of the show, and I appreciated the Ring of Honor Melvin promoters putting the real world champion Matt Taven on at a decent hour. He, of course, retained his championship against Dalton Castle. But the nuts and bolts of this show really wasn't the story. It's the fact that this looks like it's the end of an era in Ring of Honor for Cody, the Young Bucks, and Hangman Page. Yep. And this is all because the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars is investing in Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks being able to create their own wrestling federation. And so I don't know if this is in any dirt sheets, so I apologize if it has been and I'm reiterating it, but this is some news that was brought to my attention. Cody and the Young Bucks are getting $1 million apiece.
That's incredible.
Which and, is fabulous.
Yeah.
So that's $3 million amongst three people to try and put together a wrestling promotion. And they're going to try to do two small shows this year, a big show during the course of this year. Las Vegas is the rumored destination. I don't know that that's an official location. And by the time that we start 2020, they're hopeful that they will be on WGN. As far as a television network goes, this is stuff that I think we've kind of speculated about in the last few weeks, last few episodes.
Yeah.
But what strikes me is that the owner of a football team is investing in pro wrestling, and not just investing big, big dollars into it.
Yeah. Shahid Khan, that's the owner of the Jaguars. And, you know, Cody was in Shahid Khan's box during their
game.
Cody Rhodes was in the Jacksonville Jaguars owner's box during their game on December the 2nd. So that was, you know, the big speculation right there. You're right. And to see what he did with All in Chicago, that was more or less like the advent of everything, how it's all starting to come about here. He and the Young Bucks, Cody and the Young Bucks here. And to see his tweet that he put out after Ring of Honor, the final battle on Friday night, saying, thank you, fans, for a home the last 2 years. You're right. That's it. So now it's a new chapter for these guys here and a new beginning, a new promotion to see what they can do as they've talked about for such a long time. The question is, Jimmy, who's he going to have around him? With investors, and who's he going to have around him, you know, for writers and producers, and more or less, if he gets the right people around him to brainstorm, they can tell a good story, they can get something going here. And, you know, obviously you're not going to take down WWE in a day. Rome wasn't built in a day, but the pieces are in place to have some sort of healthy competition again for professional wrestling, and it'll be very interesting to see what happens here with the investment of Shahid Khan to Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks.
the big question for me is fans supported All In one time.
Yep.
Are fans going to support Double or Nothing second time? Because what I think is happening here is you have a smaller group of wrestling fans who are spending money, spending right. big bucks.
Oh, yeah.
At some point, they're going to run out of money, aren't they?
Well, you know what, Jimmy? You don't necessarily have to do it in the same city each year. Okay, I know he's trying to get the contract with WGN, which is based in Chicago, but like you said, go to Vegas, which is great. I mean, who doesn't want to go to Vegas? I mean, that's awesome. Bounce around, do other cities, get a new fan base. That's how you got to do it. You got to market that, and then New York eventually. I think that's the best plan of attack to gather people from around the country to show, hey, we're here. This is what we're doing. You know, I'm not saying people in, you know, other places don't know about it, but it's a better opportunity and more exposure for them all around.
Well, so you mentioned New York, and this is why I'm a little bit concerned about the... I'm concerned because I think a lot of fans over the summer bought Ring of Honor New Japan tickets for the Madison Square Garden show in New York, thinking that Cody... the Young Bucks were going to be on it. And now, as it looks, they're not going to be on it.
Right.
So is there going to be a backlash because fans bought with the intent of seeing X, Y, and Z on a show, and now, as it stands right now, and of course this could change between now and April, but as it stands right now, they're not going to be on that show.
No. No, I could see a backlash. I could see fans getting pissed off over it. I mean, I'd be disappointed if I bought a ticket knowing or thinking that they'd be there and planning my my vacation or the WrestleMania weekend around that.
Absolutely. Are you going to the MSG show, by the way?
As of now, no.
No.
And I think there's a good chance that you'll be joining us that weekend, too.
I don't see that happening.
All right, never mind. Okay. All right, well, my crystal ball says differently, but... you know, I just, we're not planning to go as of now. That could change, though.
I don't think it's going to happen. Sorry.
All right. Well, we got a long way to go. But anyways, I'd be a little disappointed, though, if I did invest in a ticket thinking that they would be there. Wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. I mean, 100%.
I'd be pissed.
You base your whole show around those guys. You want to see them. So it's like, damn, that sucks.
I was upset that when we went to the Garden show that back in October that I didn't get Samoa Joe and The Miz.
Yeah, see? There you go. And it was on the card.
Card subject to change.
Oh, yeah. They make that very clear.
I was upset Roman wasn't there, but Roman had a reason not to be there.
Yeah. That's a fair pass.
Right. But so. Miz and Samoa Joe, come on, guys.
Right. Come on. Of course. Yeah.
Mike, any closing thoughts?
Well, I think this is our final debate pretty much of 2018, isn't it?
Oh, because we're doing watch-alongs next week.
Right? Yeah, we're going to have some fun with that. So looking forward to that. And,
so next week, watch-alongs. Mike has told me, he has ordered me that all of the watch-alongs will be TLC matches. So
you're such a... You know, I'm going to pull a Mark Jamelli. You are a dick.
Yep. Yeah. I am, but I don't pull any punches about it.
No, you own it. I give you that. Yeah. No TLC matches, no. But I'm going to I have a surprise match. I think you'll like it.
So this is different than what you told me?
Well, I don't want to tell everyone yet. I want to wait until we actually
Oh, I'm going to tell you that we're going to watch along with Mankind winning the WWF Championship for the first time. That's my match.
That's yours. I'll wait for everyone else to see what I choose because it's down to two. I'm going to sleep on it one more night.
I'm telling the audience what's going to happen, and they're going to love it. They're going to love my commentary on this match and the fact that I was there. I was live in Worcester, Massachusetts when Mankind won the championship, and during the course of this match, which I think is my favorite WWF moment, my bias is I was there. It was the loudest pop in WWF history, in my opinion, for the reasons that we'll talk about.
No, and that was during the snowstorm, too, at the Worcester Centrum.
Yep.
So right around this time of year, too, 20 years ago.
So we'll get into my personal story about that night, which I think is interesting. You probably don't.
No, I can't wait to hear it.
But the listeners out there might. So,
yeah. Well, I appreciate that. And we know you're a big Mick Foley fan. So
number one favorite wrestler of all time. If you think I'm a Charlotte Flair honk, like, you ain't seen nothing as far as being a Mick Foley honk for me.
Well, it's going to be good. I'm looking forward to it, and I'll be sharing my match with everybody on the watch along as well. So get your WWE Network ready to go, kids.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in the Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Mike, you have a smirk on your face. Go.
I am just laughing. I'm just smiling right now because I'm saying to myself, I am one lucky dude to do this week in, week out. I mean, I do have to look at you on the video camera here, but to do this week in, week out, to talk wrestling, we're the privileged ones, Jimmy. We are very lucky and fortunate enough to have a great fan base every week to listen to us. So thank you again, everybody.
For Mike Riley at Sarge985, who is lucky that I allow him a voice on this podcast.
Oh, please.
The show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985. You can follow me on Twitter at I am the man, James Stewart. No, my Twitter account is at I am James Stewart.
You just stand up comedy now? Stand up comedy?
No, it's midnight as we're finishing this up, and I'm exhausted. Yeah. And so I'm feisty. And still, Ronda Rousey should be suspended. She should be fined. She should be stripped of her championship because that was Charlotte Flair's championship to win, and she took that away. She took that away from me. She took away my celebration of Charlotte becoming the 8-time women's championship. She took that away from me.
Jimmy, go to bed.
She took that away from me. Monsoon! Get me Jack Tunney on the phone.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.